May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 133. One there is above all others, well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond a brother's, costly, free, and knows no end. They who once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. 133.
Sacred and holy word of God, we shall read together from the Gospel as recorded by Luke, chapter 5. The Gospel as recorded by Luke, chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had first brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear, and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass in a certain day as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. When they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling, with his couch, into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? But whether it's easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? That ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. And after these things he went forth and saw a publican, named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. There was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, Can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, The old is better. May God bless his holy word to us. May he teach us and enable us to pray. Most gracious and ever blessed Lord God, that unseen yet ever present friend, we do pray this evening hour, as we seek to worship thy great and holy name, that we may enjoy thy felt presence with us in our hearts and in the attitude of worship. Lord, there are so many hindrances in us, none in thee, but oh, so many in us. Hard hearts, unbelief, guilt, temptation. How many stones there are that need to be rolled away. But oh, Lord, when thou dost come, there are no hindrances, and no obstacle can hinder thy divine purpose. And we pray this evening, how we may know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Oh, a liberty to believe and to repent and to hope and to love. A liberty to obey and to follow. A liberty, oh, to enable us to walk worthy of that vocation wherewith we are called. But, oh Lord, without thy blessed Spirit, we are wholly and totally impotent in these things. And so we pray for the name and for the sake of thy dear Son, that it might please thy holy majesty to send a gracious measure of thy Holy Spirit into our hearts, preacher and hearer alike, and create what only thou canst create, real worship. And, O Lord, we do pray that we may feel and know the power of the atonement. Lord, we read of that one who was in that pit wherein there was no water. Oh, what a deep place to be in, and yet was delivered by the blood of the covenant. And we pray, O Lord, that the blood of the covenant this night might release some poor, feelingly destitute sinners, raise them up out of the miry clay The deep pit they feel to be in, set them upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. For even today do I declare, I render the double unto thee. Oh, we do pray, Lord, this night we may know what it is to receive in our hearts that double blessing. Water to cleanse, blood to atone. Oh, let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin that double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. So be with us this night, Lord. We need drawing. We need washing. We need cleansing. We need that faith and grace might conquer what we are by nature, that where sin abounded, grace may much more abound. And Lord, where does it abound so much? Surely in our poor, wretched hearts. Or can anything conquer? Is there anything greater than the power of sin within? Lord, there's that blessed word, grace. And we pray it may be shed abroad in our hearts this night. We might know a little freedom from the old nature. And let the new nature be in living exercise by thy gracious Spirit. Oh, then do bless this gathered people tonight. Quicken the dead, strengthen the weak. Guide the perplexed, undertake for the oppressed. Let go thy captives, set the solitary in families, and bring out those who are bound with chains. And grant as we venture into the days of this coming week, we might receive food for our never-dying soul that will carry us through whatever events may overtake us, whatever new scenes may arise. May, O Lord, the meditation of thy truth this night be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. May it be a sure, unerring guide as to the steps we should take and the way we should handle matters that inevitably come in the way. Oh, do forgive, O Lord, our lack in this. So oft we put our own hand to matters and all made them much worse than they otherwise would have been. But all, if we're enabled to walk in thy precept, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Do bless this church and congregation thou hast planted here, sustained here, maintained here over many years. In this present generation, Lord, thou hast greatly increased in numbers in recent years, and we are thankful to see it. Do send them an under-shepherd, a pastor, a man after thine own heart, who will go in and out amongst them and feed them with food convenient for them. Lord, show them that one whom thou hast appointed to this sacred office, that they might have one under thy hand to be a true pastor to them. For do bless all the dear labouring servants who gather in this house of prayer and speak in thy name within this pulpit. May they be abundantly blessed and made a blessing to many. And we do bless the sister causes represented here tonight. And we pray for like blessings to be poured out upon the hills of Zion that are represented here. There might be those, O Lord, constrained by divine love, both here and elsewhere, to come and tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found. We do pray, Lord, that thou be graciously pleased to bring back the prodigals. O Lord, thou knowest where prodigals get to. It may not just be those who are not attending the house of God at this time, but, O Lord, those who may be attending, but they're in a far-off country. They are far off from the narrow way at the present and are trying to serve God and mammon. And if there's a grain of life in their heart, they must wonder why they are so destitute and so dead in their feelings. There is a cause, but, O, thou canst bring the prodigals back. O one blessed work from thy hand and word from thy lip can turn them and heal their backslidings. And do, Lord, bless those who would have been here tonight if they could, but are lawfully hindered from the house of God, those at home with little ones and loved ones. And Lord, remember those who could be here if they would, and do pray the love of Christ might be so put in their heart that they dare not, cannot stay away as opportunity is given to hear the word of God within these walls, and to awaken yet many as yet unawakened sinners to come and hear the word of God within these walls. O Lord, do have mercy, we pray, and do bless us this night. All thou knowest the varying burdens, cares, causes, concerns that are in the way of thy people, afflictions and bereavements and sorrows and temptations and trials, or besetting sins, the enemy has been busy, and those, Lord, who have so much to pray about and yet rarely feel to have that heart to pray as they would like. Oh, that this night some little relief may be given, and that thy dear people might know there was yet a care and a concern over the bruised reed and the smoking flax. We pray for all thine own sent servants worldwide, but especially those that we know and love for the truth's sake among our churches, and those, Lord, who are in affliction. Think of our dear friend, Mr. James Pack, in the sister cause, not so very far from here. Oh, watch over our dear friend, Lord, in these days of infirmity. And out of these times of trial, may much good come in his ministry to his little flock. And bless all thy dear servants who are laid aside. Bless thy dear servant labouring at home tonight. Do anoint him with fresh oil, that much good may be done in our own church and congregation. Raise up more labourers into thy harvest. Thrust out men of God equipped, qualified, sanctioned. Send to the Holy Ghost to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, yet we beg. And do in thy tender mercy grant that in our land the voice of the Church of God may be heard, that there might yet, Lord, be attended to, a voice of warning, a voice, Lord, of loving but faithful reproof for the abominations done in our land. And as thou hast heard and answered prayer in recent days, even this coming week, Lord, we need thee again to appear and to overturn those iniquitous designs of those who would seek to abort babies at birth. Oh, Lord, what a solemn, awesome state our nations come into, that has even be considered. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon us yet and turn us back again and overturn the designs of those who deliberately set out to undo and undermine the holy law of God. But, Lord, we pray now for thy help this night. We turn to thy holy word. We need thee, Lord. The preacher needs thee. The hearer needs thee. We cannot do without thee. Oh, deliver us from presumption or unbelief. But may we know, Lord, what it is to come up out of the wilderness this night, leaning upon our beloved. Thus, Lord, thy waiting servants bless, and crown thy gospel with success, and let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen.
Hymn 582. High beyond imagination is the love of God to man, far too deep for human reason, fathom that it never can. Love eternal, richly dwells in Christ the Lamb. 582.
Attention. I direct your thoughts this evening to the chapter we read, the Gospel as recorded by Luke, chapter 5, and words you will find in verse 5. Luke chapter 5 and part of verse 5. Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Luke 5, verse 5. Master, we have toiled all the night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. What a disappointing this encouraging night that these disciples must have had. Probably venturing out early evening as the sun was setting in hopes to fill their vessel with fish to land and to sail and to gain a living for the next day. And they let down their net the first time and nothing but weeds is brought up with it. And they let it down a second time and nothing but weeds. And so they go on, hour after hour. Still, it seems as if there's not one fish in the whole of the Sea of Galilee. As the sun dawns, they take their ship back to the land, take out their nets and mend them, and sit there discouraged. We have toiled all the night. We've taken nothing. Discouragement. Disappointment. And yet, if ever there was a case of disappointment being his appointment, it was here. And how often, dear friends, our barren nights precede, in God's time, a morning of deliverance. Does it not say in one of the early Psalms, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning? This is God's way. And this is the way in which God, the dear Son of God, taught his disciples at this time. Let us just notice something in the context which should not be forgotten. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shouldn't really use the word, but you know what I mean. He borrowed a boat to be a pulpit. In one sense, God borrows nothing. As you sung this morning, he doesn't borrow leave to be. And everything on the face of this earth belongs to him. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. God has lent it to us to use rightly in his fear. But here in his humility, the dear Redeemer, though Lord of all, he begs, Simon, can I borrow your boat? And Simon willingly allows him so to do, glad he should do. And for a season it is used not for fishing in the literal sense, but rather for man fishing. Yes, a very wonderful occupation to be engaged in if God put you in it. But those who are put in it, friends, often have to say, like Simon, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. There seems to be a lack of power, much preaching, but where is the power? Where is the authority? Where is the unction? Where are the broken hearts? Where are the changed lives? Where are the sinners brought out of bondage? Where are those delivered from the power of temptation? Where are those whose lives are turned upside down that they might seek Christ? Or where are those brands plucked from the burning, those sinners saved by grace? Oh, so often God's dear people, God's dear servants in particular, feel like this. We've toiled all the night, Lord, and have taken nothing. What is the Lord teaching us? He's teaching us a very vital, important lesson that has to be learned again and again, and again, not just by God's servants, but by his people, wherever he is teaching them, that power belongeth unto God. So Moses had to learn it. Do you remember when he first went before Pharaoh at God's command and performed those miracles in Pharaoh's presence? He quite thought, I think, that Pharaoh would relent and yield to the request. But he drove him away. And not only that, the elders of Israel complained that since he had gone to Pharaoh, Pharaoh had made their life 10 times worse. You should have left us alone, Moses. And the dear man went back to God and he said this, Lord, why? Why hast thou sent me? Why hast thou sent me? Since I went to Pharaoh, look what's happened. His heart hasn't changed. He's only hardened. And even the people of God, whom I'm supposed to be serving on your behalf, are bitter against me. Lord, why hast thou sent me? And then the Lord answered, now thou wilt see what I will do. Not what you will do, Moses, but what I will do. You see, dear friend, that's what's needed. The Lord to arise. Awake, awake, O arm of the Lord, as in days of old. And for this discouraging, disappointing night, there to prove, just like Moses, that without God's blessing upon it, nothing can be done. Ah, we may come to the house of God and sing his worthy praises, read his holy word, engage in prayer, preach, hear, and yet if God withhold the blessing, why, nothing is accomplished. Friend, the great lack in the churches today is power. And the solemn thing is that many are content with it, thinking a routine of religion will do, and that the coming and the going is satisfying to God. Friend, we want power. Oh, send us thine unction. Teach us all good. Touch with compunction. Sprinkle with blood. You need power in your prayers. How often, friend, thou so dry, so are mine. Oh, how weak they seem to be. Feeble desires, wishes so weak. You say, but doesn't Jesus inspire them? We trust he does, but sometimes, friends, we wonder, they're so weak and they're so dry. Is there any life in them? Oh, our weakness in prayer, our weakness in faith. Where is your faith, the Lord more than once had to say to his disciples. And Moses wasn't the only man, was he? Think of Elijah. That godly man, you know, he, by God's grace, accomplished great things on Mount Carmel. He gained a great victory over the prophets of Baal. And in answer to prayer, fire came from heaven and rain was sent. And I think the dear man thought, surely now Jezebel and Ahab will listen. Surely now Israel will wake up to their solemn accountability to God and turn from their idolatrous ways. And what happened? Jezebel sends a message. God do so to me and more also. The God, she said, not the God of Israel. The gods do so to me and more also. If that man's life be not as the prophets of Baal by this time tomorrow. And the poor man Elijah runs into the wilderness, hides under a juniper tree. Lord, let me die and not live. It's better I should do so. I'm not better than my father. Lord, I've toiled all the night and I've taken nothing. It's all been wasted energy, wasted exercise even. And he lay down asleep under the juniper tree and ready to give up. But friends, Elijah's God hadn't given up. Moses' God hadn't given up. And you poor toiling ones this evening hour, God has not given up. But he's teaching you a very vital lesson. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, the preaching, the praying, the praising is of none effect. Paul may plant, an able planter. Apollos may water, and what a wonderful waterer he was. But God must give the increase. He must have the honour, and he must have the glory. Oh, then, so we need to learn this lesson first. Toiling all night and taking nothing. So many different ways, aren't there? Some of you, dear parents, praying over your children. You can't see the answers you want. We're praying over your own soul, perhaps. Or you long for deliverance. You long for the Lord to arise for your help. But as yet, you've taken nothing. Those of you who are seeking his face and waiting for a word of forgiveness, you come to the house of God. Will this be the night? Will this be the day? And again you go away untouched. Your case not met. Oh Lord, we're toiling and we're taking nothing. These are discouraging times for God's dear people. And dear Peter and the other disciples must have felt like that. We have toiled all night. It's wearisome work, Lord, and the flesh doesn't like it. And when the spirit is low in us, oh, shall we carry on toiling? Shall we carry on in this exercise? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ had an answer. And you know, it's a very wonderful word in Psalm 102. It's a lovely psalm. You read that when you get home. It'd be a good psalm for a family worship to end the day with. Psalm 102, you read it. And one of the things that is said there is this. When the Lord shall appear in his glory, notice the word shall, when he's going to build up Zion, he will regard the prayer of the destitute. What does the word destitute mean? It's someone who's poorer than just poor. A man may be poor and eke out an existence, and many do. But a destitute man has got absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's a destitute man. And the effect of the appearing of the glory of the Lord in that destitute man's life has brought him to that. To feel he's got nothing of himself. But we read the Lord will regard, highly prize the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that these disciples had had a disappointing night. He knew they had a discouraging time. He knew what Elijah felt under the juniper tree. That's why he sent an angel to bake a meal for him. Arise and eat, Elijah. The journey is too great for thee. Ah, Elijah, you need strength like any other man. Yes. And our Lord knows. And he has a blessed sympathy for his dear discouraged people. Yes, he shall not fail, nor be discouraged. But his people often fail and often feel discouraged. But now listen. When he'd left speaking unto Simon, he then turns to the matter in hand. But I want you to notice that the Lord is never, ever in our debt. Never. Friends, if he borrows, I use that word guardedly, you know what I mean, something from you for his sake, you can be sure the reward he gives you is infinitely better than anything other man could give you. He gives the best of all interest to those who lend aright for his sake. If he borrows your boat, dear friends, he'll bless you. Think of Obed-Edom. Remember, Obed-Edom was the man in whose house the Ark of the Covenant rested when it was brought back from the Philistines, and it was resting there until God's time came. But you see, it must have caused a great effect in his house. After all, there was the Ark, and there were the priests with it. It must have taken over the whole man's house. But Obed-Edom was glad to have it there. And we read this, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom because of the ark of the Lord. He didn't resent that ark being there and it having the preeminence in his house. And my dear friend, if Christ be in your house, he'll have the preeminence. And you won't resent him being there, whatever furniture will be moved out, that he might have the honour and glory there. And no doubt there was some moving out of things in Obed-Edom's house, literally. And there may be in your house also things need to be moved out. If the Ark of Christ comes therein, the temple needs to be cleansed. Yes, the buyers and the sellers moved out. Mammon must not be served there. No. But we read the Lord bless the house of Obed-Edom because of the Ark of the Lord. In other words, Obed-Edom, the Lord was not in Obed-Edom's debt. The Lord richly rewarded him. Ruth leaves Moab, a great sacrifice, but she does it for the truth's sake. In the end of that matter, she's Boaz's husband and wonderfully favoured in every way. The Lord gives good interest And you read Philippians 4 and you have that beautiful word there. That church had given themselves out again and again for Christ's sake. They had given almost until it hurt. And the Lord said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There may be one here tonight whom the Lord has laid a command, and it's a heavy command, but it's going to be a costly one. And your old flesh, how are we going to manage? How are we going to continue? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God will not be in your debt. That, dear friends, I'm absolutely persuaded of. And I've proved it. Well, let's come back to Simon and his boat. Here is the command of Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon, launch out into the deep. The same lake you've been fishing in all night. The same waters you've been letting your net down all night. Go back to them. And let down your nets. Notice the Lord used the plural word. Not the singular, nets. And you must ever remember God is exact in his words. And Simon says, Lord, we've toiled all the night. We've taken nothing, as if the Lord didn't know. Friends, we sung tonight of him being a friend, but he's a friend who knows everything. I've often thought of Zacharias in Luke chapter 1. The Lord sends the angel Gabriel with those amazing tidings concerning John Baptist's birth. And Zacharias says, don't you know how old I am? And my wife? Of course, Gabriel knew that. And friend, the Lord knows your circumstances. He knows just what it is that's made you toil all night and taken nothing. He knows all about it. Oh, Simon, I know about your disappointed, discouraging night. We have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. At thy word. All those three words, dear friends, are the key to his deliverance. At thy word. Let us bring the gospel in here. There's a lovely hymn. We don't often sing it, but it's a beautiful hymn. On the word thy blood hath sealed hangs my everlasting all. Have you got a word like that? A word spoken to you by God Almighty concerning your never-dying soul, and your soul's eternity hangs on God's faithfulness in that word. On the word thy blood hath sealed. At thy word I will let down the net. At thy word. In the night of the Passover, it was at God's word they rested within the blood-sprinkled doorposts and lintel. What God had said about it, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Friend, their safety and security depended on God's faithfulness to his word. And my dear friends, the safety and security of all of God's dear people is just the same. It depends on the faithfulness of God in his word. And oh, if you've got a word from his holy lip in your heart, God will remain faithful to it. Your unbelief won't make the word of God of none effect. But you see, in this respect, dear Peter, or Simon, had a large view of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this sense, he recognized the authority of the word of God. We must never lose, friends, the sense of that. The authority of God's word. By the word of God were the heavens made. The very earth you and I are living in has not come from some plasma, some mix of darkness and millions of years ago. Friends, it was spoken into existence by the very word of God. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. And by the word of the Lord they are maintained until the day of judgment. This is the power of God. Oh, we are so limited in our view of him. But here Peter's faith is raised up a little At thy word, I will let down the net. At thy word. Friends, have you ever done anything at his word? Has it ever come with such power it's brought you into humble obedience, like it did with God's servant Peter? I think of Elijah in this respect. The word of the Lord comes to Elijah. Go to the brook Cherith. It shall be that the ravens will feed thee there. It shall be. And according to the word of the Lord he went. Though it was the most foolish place to go, in one sense, how could a little stream like Cherith supply his need? And ravens are birds of prey at thy word. And when at last the Cherith dries up at God's permission, he goes to Zarephath. Another word follows in there. The barrel of meal shall not waste. The cruse of oil shall not fail. To the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. At thy word. And he goes. He lives there with that widow woman and her son. Those years. At thy word. Oh friends, it's a wonderful thing then to have a word with divine power, authority, and unction in our life. A word to prove. A word to plead. A word to walk in. A word to prove God faithful in. At thy word, I will let down the net. Just one net. His faith didn't rise very high, did it? After all, he'd let down the net so many times, it seemed rather foolish to waste time letting two down when it'd been so unsuccessful. So, but nonetheless, he lets down the net. And whereas before, dear friends, it seemed as if Galilee's lake was devoid of fishes, and there wasn't one in all its length and breadth and depth, now it seemed nothing but fishes. They swarmed into his net, drawn by the power of God's word. He holds all nature in his hand, that gracious hand on which I live. Has life and death at his command, has immortal joys to give. Friends, those fish are under God's command. He drew them into the net. And it is so, dear friends, in the gospel sense. It's God who draws sinners into the gospel net. And he permits his servants and his people to go through times of barrenness for that very reason, to remind them who must draw them in, who must gather them into the net. But oh, then when he puts forth his power, and this one and that one are drawn, then the honour and the glory goes to Almighty God, and never limit him in this respect. John Baptist said, did he not, God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. A stone is cold, it's dead, it's unfeeling, it's unyielding, it's unmoving, just like you and I by nature. But God can take that cold, dead, lifeless, immovable stone, and from it create a child of Abraham. And there's a word for one of you tonight who feels your heart is just like that. You come into the house of God and you sat down in the pew and you told the Lord, Lord, my heart is so hard, it's so cold, it's so dead, it's so unfeeling, it's so unyielding, it's so unmoving. Is there any hope? God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Oh, plead that word. Take it back to him. Tell him it's in his own word. It was said. God is able. God is able. The net is let down. The fishes swarm into it. And the net begins to break. Had he let down more than one net, that wouldn't have happened. Friends, we need to be obedient to God's word in all its particulars. They needed then the other ship to come and help them and to get the ship safe to land and then to unload the fishes. But the point is, what was the effect? Friends, it brought a solemn awe in the heart of God's servant Peter. He suddenly realized in whose presence he was standing. The difference between the discouraging night and the full net was so great that he realized at last, perhaps the first time beginning to truly realize in whose presence he was, Jesus, the Son of God, a holy presence, a majestic presence. And I said in Psalm 102, when the Lord appears in his glory, the effect is to make us feel destitute in his sight, emptied of anything good in ourselves, unworthy of his presence. That's what Peter felt. He says, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. You don't know how sinful I am and have been and could be. If only you knew me, Lord, you wouldn't even get in my boat, let alone fill it with fishes. And the way he once said that tonight, Lord, if only you knew how vile and black I feel. And yet he does know. He does know. And not only that, my dear friend, not only does he know, but the gospel came for such as you. It didn't come for the righteous, for the full in themselves, the independent, those who've got no need. It's come for the poor, the lame, the blind, the far off, the out of the way, the destitute. That's who the gospel is for. Oh, Peter, your very sinfulness, deeply felt, is your reason why you need this glorious man. Oh, his natural reaction, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. No, says the Lord, fear not. Fear not. Why? Because you'll now be catching men, not fishes, but that word fear not has something very precious in it. You see, in God's holy sight, sinners do have a fear, a deep fear. Isaiah did. You read in chapter 6 of his prophecy, when the triune God was revealed, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. The dear man trembled. Woe is me. I'm a man undone, a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Lord, I'm a wretched sinner. I'm not worthy of thy presence. Woe is me. Yes, I'm cut off. Apparently in the context is of a weaver who is weaving out his cloth. That when he's finished, he cuts off the ends. And they drop down to the floor and they are burned up. And that's just what Isaiah felt. Lord, I'm just those dregs that are worthy to be burned up. And not like the beautiful cloth that's been woven. Nothing beautiful about me, Lord. I'm this mixture of sin and unbelief and wretchedness. I've fit fuel for hell fire, I might even feel, Lord. Fear not. Isaiah felt it, Peter felt it, Daniel felt it, Ezekiel felt it, John felt it on the Isle of Patmos. In some measure, all God's dear children feel it in one way or another. Emptied of self. That's a big thing, isn't it? Self has got many, many faces. And to be emptied of self is something which only God can accomplish. But he did with Peter. Oh, he felt such a sinner. But the Lord said, fear not. And in that word, fear not, there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness. If the Lord should draw near to one here tonight like that, fear not. I know how unworthy you feel. I know how unclean you feel. I know how unfit you feel. I know all about that. But fear not. Why? Well, you go to Isaiah 43 and hear what the Lord has to say. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, why I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And that's just what the Lord said to Peter. You are mine, Peter. You're an instrument I'm going to use in my service. Thou art mine. And you know, from that day on, he forsook his nets and followed the Lord Jesus Christ as a close follower of the dear Redeemer. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. A word then to those of you who are weary of letting down your nets tonight and ready to give up. Go back to dear Elijah. He'd received a word from the Lord, had a very clear one. Go, show thyself to Ahab, and I'll send rain on the earth. Notice the order. It would be much easier for Elijah's flesh, had the Lord said, I'll send rain on the earth, then go and show thyself to Ahab. But no, there was a cross to be taken up. Show thyself to Ahab first, and then I'll send rain on the earth. Well, God gave him grace to do that. And he showed himself to Ahab. Now the matters on Mount Carmel have come to their pitch. The prophets of Baal have been slain. There's still no rain. What is to be done? My dear friends, if the Lord's ever given you a word, it'll put you on your knees. In fact, I say it kindly and carefully. If the word you profess has never brought a breath of prayer out of your heart, I doubt whether it ever came from the Lord. One of the effects of the application of the word of God is to bring forth desires and exercises and the Lord to plead, the Lord to do as he has said. Now Elijah could get on his knees and say, Lord, at thy word I have done these things. And thou hast promised thou would send rain upon the earth. Now, I've told Ahab as well. He said, go, Ahab, and there's a sound of an abundance of rain. I've told him, and now the honour and glory of God is at stake in this matter. In Elijah's eyes, would God fail? In Ahab's eyes, that cannot be. But he had to pray about it. And he gets on his knees, and what did he say? He said, go to the top, to my servant, and look toward the sea. Any sign? There was nothing. Just like these dear disciples on the Galilean lake, there is nothing. Toiling all night and taking nothing. What's to be done? Stop praying? No. Go again. Seven times. Seven being a perfect number in God's account. And that may be a word for one of you tonight who are ready to give up praying. Lord, I've prayed so much about this matter. Never got anywhere in it. Now, we don't dictate to the Lord in our prayers. Mistake me not. When you are praying about that word he's given you, that promise he gave you, and still the heavens are as brass, and you cry out and shout, and all your prayer he seems to shut out, what are you to do? Unbelief says, give up. The devil says, give up. Carnal reason says, give up. And the Lord says, go again, seven times. And up and down the mount that servant toiled. And it was a toil, wasn't it? He climbs up in the midday heat and looks towards the Mediterranean Sea. Not a sign. The clear sky is as clear as it's been the last 3 years or 6 months. There's nothing. And six of those seven times he came back with the same message. There is nothing. How many times, dear friends, have you come back, as it were, with that message? Lord, there's nothing. There's nothing. Painful, humiliating. Oh, how discouraging, how distressing. What questions arise in our hearts. How busy the enemy is. Where is now thy God? Where is he? Where's this prayer hearing, prayer answering God you talk about? Where is this God of miracles you've spoken about? There is nothing. Ah, but blessed be God, the seventh time. A little cloud, like a man's hand, arose, a little cloud. And I do admire Elijah's faith. He didn't say, you better go up again and just check to see if that cloud is really there, and then we'll go and tell Ahab. No. He believed the Lord who created a little cloud could soon fill the whole sky with clouds. And he may have given you this night a little cloud to hope in. And at the end of one of the verses in the chapters in Isaiah, we have these words, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. In his time. A little one shall become a thousand. A little cloud will soon fill the sky. Elijah knows it. He knows what the Lord can do with little things. Think what he did with the five loaves and two fishes that little lad brought. Oh, says the unbelieving disciples, what are these among so many? Give them to me, says the Lord. Give them to me. And in his gracious hands, what a difference. Friend, put your little resources in the hand of a great God. Put those little evidences you've got in the hand of the God who gave them. He can multiply and multiply and multiply until all did eat and were filled. And so Elijah tells his servant, Go and tell Ahab to get down quick to Jezreel. The rain stopped thee not. In the meanwhile, the sky was filled with clouds and there was a great rain. All because, dear friend, at thy word. A wonderful encouragement to some of you tonight who are ready to give up. And if I told the Lord you cannot go on, yet mysteriously you find you can't give up, don't you? There's something deep down within that will not give up. And that's the life of God in your soul. With Joseph, you know, when he was in prison, those 2 full years after the butler's faulty memory, how many times you might have thought, oh, I'm going to give up. But we read these words, until the time that his word came, there it is again, his word came, the word of the Lord tried him, tested him, put him on his knees, raised so many questions in his heart. But dear friends, it came to blessed fruition. That memorable day, a knock at the prison door, Joseph, you're needed to see the king. And just remember, as a man of like passions to you and me, the butler and the baker had gone to see the king 2 years before, and one had been hung, though the other delivered. Now, don't think the devil was slow to say to Joseph, this is the end. You're going to be like the baker, hung on a tree now. Our unbelief rises up, doesn't it? Listen, blind unbelief is sure to err. Not it might err, not it perhaps will, it's sure to err. And scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter. He will make it plain. By the end of that day, Joseph's on a throne alongside Pharaoh, the second in the land over mighty Egypt. Oh, what can God do? What cannot he do? The only thing God cannot do, or 2 things he cannot do. One, he cannot lie. And the other, friends, he cannot deny himself. Blessed be his holy name. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. It was a venture. A venture. And friend, God loves venturers. There are several wonderful venturers in Scripture to encourage us. Ruth was a venture from Moab to Israel. It was a tremendous venture. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, forget all thine own people, thy father's house. She had to forget all that. She ventured to an unknown land. But it was a venture in faith. And I think of Esther, that memorable day when she had to go into the king. Her life and the life of a whole nation depended upon it. Or she'd not been bidden. There'd been no call for 30 days. Just like discouraging Simon. The net had been let down and nothing had come up. She'd been kept at a distance. Dare she go? She must go. I can but perish if I go. I am resolved to try. For if I stay away, I know I must forever die. She ventures after much prayer, yes, and much exercise. And she found the Lord went before her. The Lord loves venturing souls. Venture on him. Venture wholly. Let no other trust intrude. Peter ventured here. He ventured on a good foundation at God's word. And I come to this, dear friend, those poor guilty sinners here tonight who from the top to the toe of their very existence feel wounded, bruised, putrefied. Such a mess your life has been and you feel it is. Is there a word for such a one as me? I may go to the Lord with a vengeance. Yes, there is. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, may the Lord help you to venture on such a word as that. I know you cannot steal it out of Scripture, but there it is on the sacred page. And you can beg the Holy Ghost to make it spirit and life to you. So that's what you need, isn't it? To make it spirit and life to you. That you may prove God faithful at his word. Peter proved Jesus faithful, didn't he? And you go through this chapter, and you read it again. It's full of power. A leper cleansed. the paralytic man raised up, and a double portion for him, sins forgiven. Oh, what a portion that was. Yes, they marvelled. Who can forgive sins but God only? This strange person, Jesus of Nazareth, has forgiven this man's sins. Oh, he had power on earth to forgive them, and power in heaven tonight as well. And he forgave his sins first. That was the matter that was deep down in that man's heart. And then he dealt with his other matter too. Yes, first things first, God first. Other second, self last. What a mercy when God deals with our sins and puts them behind his back. I've blotted out a thick cloud thy transgressions, as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. At thy word, power. So friends, we end where we began. It's power we need, isn't it? The power that cleanses the leper. The power that forgives sins. The power that took Matthew or Levi from the table of custom and caused him to follow a precious Christ. It's power we need. Draw me, Lord. We will run after thee. Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Let me love thy precious word. Let me see thy smiling face, willing to be saved by grace. All you poor, helpless, powerless, impotent friends tonight, join with the dear preacher, with the dear Lord in this encouraging word tonight. Peter, he says to Peter, let down your net. Let it down. And Peter, in humble obedience, let it down. And he proved power belongeth unto God. One last venture, dear friend. Who can tell? Who can tell? Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. May God give you such grace, and me too. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £685, and yesterday for the Oakington Building Fund to £2,017, for both of which we're truly thankful. God willing, Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn number 18. Now to the Lord a noble song. Awake my soul, awake my tongue. Hosanna to the eternal name, and all his boundless love proclaim. Hymn number 18.
Do cover with a mantle of thy forgiving love, O Lord, all that thy pure, holy eyes have seen amiss in our worship. Take us on our way in peace, in safety, in journeys long or short. And oh, help us, Lord, to remember thy promise, that we shall reap in due season. If we faint not, may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, the Holy Spirit's favour, rest and abide with us each, both now and evermore. Amen.